Sometimes life can take a toll and it can hit you hard. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, it hits you hard. And I don't know how people do it without God. I really don't. I mean, every one of us have a past. Every one of us now have a future, thanks to Jesus. Our past is under the blood. It's gone. But as a Christian, sometimes we get hit from all sides. And what I find out is that as a Christian, you can actually go into captivity and not realize what you're going into. But I want to share some things that I'm praying that before we leave this place today, even while you're listening to this message, the people that are listening online, that are streamlining, this is for you too, that we will realize how much the Holy Spirit wants to bring healing in our lives. I don't know about you. I've been here 21 years. And someone was talking to me the other day about the joy of the Lord. And sometimes we as Christians can go through the motions. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. And we go through phases. We go through different things in our life. And sometimes we don't get to where we need to be like we should. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need God to do something in our lives. But as I was reading and studying this, I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, restore us to our former glory. Bring us back to the joy of the Lord as our strength. I don't want to go through maintenance mode and just go through it and just to exist as a Christian. How many know I'm talking about? That's not who we are. I don't want to go through that. And I want to be completely honest with you this morning. I'm just going to bare my heart. And I want you to know that God wants to restore his people back to the former glory it once was. We feel like sometimes we've been hit so hard that we'd go through the motions, but we really inside are saying, Lord, there's more to this. I remember the first love. I remember my first love for you. I remember those days when I could feel your presence. And it's not that God isn't there, people, for he's always there. But there's some things that need to be deeply healed in our hearts that we don't realize. And it became a revelation when somebody was talking to me and I said, this is what I need to preach on. This is what I need to talk about. So let's get into our message and let's look what some of the things that Apostle Paul went through. Let's go to the book of Acts 16 and let's read this. I'm glad I put this in there because sometimes when I get it real long, I put it on the overhead. And it says, as we were on our way to a place of prayer. Man, I could stop there and hit that hard, okay? They're going to pray, but you know, when you go to pray, the enemy's always going to be trying to resist you or something is, okay? There's always something to come in your way. But let's read this. As we were on our way to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, these men are the servants of the Most High God. They announced to you the way of salvation. And she did this for many days, and Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. But when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught a hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the forum marketplace where the trials were held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, these fellows are Jews and they're throwing our city into great confusion. They encouraged the practice of customs, which is unlawful for us as Romans to accept or observe. The crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore the clothes off of them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Excuse me, people. He, having received so strict a charge, put them in the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the doors were open and everyone's shackles were unfastened. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that every believer at some point during their life needs an experience, a spiritual breakthrough. We really do. I have been talking to a lot of pastors, and they're burned out, they're tired, they're worn out, and they're saying the same thing. We need a breakthrough. We have been praying and believing God for the greatest move of God, and it's coming. It is already on the trickle. Well, the greatest move of God is going to sweep this country, it's going to sweep the churches, it's going to change us and bring us back to our former glory. I believe that. And we're praying for that. But what do I mean by spiritual breakthrough? Write this down. A spiritual breakthrough is when God intervenes. I got to go slow because I don't have it on the overhead, so... When God intervenes supernaturally on our behalf, when he comes through and manifests himself in a mighty way in our lives. A spiritual breakthrough is when God intervenes supernaturally on our behalf, and when he comes through and manifests himself in a mighty way in our lives. Now, let's look at the story of Paul and Silas. For an example, think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They were imprisoned after they cast out a spirit of python out of a woman. Now listen to this. In the religious context, Greek mythology, she was an oracle or a medium who had the spirit of the god speaking through her to foretell the future. The python spirit was a description of Apollo, known as the Greek god of prophecy. An individual, often a young virgin, who became the oracle of Apollo was known as a python or Pythia. Okay? So what we see here is Paul is preaching salvation to the people, and this girl's following him around every day. Now, you would think she was of the Lord. She's speaking some scriptural things. She's telling them who they were, but it was with the wrong motive and wrong heart. Okay? So she's sitting there and she's saying all these things. But I want you to see something in verse 8. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out. How many have ever been annoyed or worn out? Can you imagine this girl following him every day? And just wearing on him. And then he finally realized what it was. It was a spirit. And it says that he was annoyed and worn out. Now, let me share this. The literal translation in your notes says, and she did this over many days, but becoming distressed. Another word that he was distressed. And turning to the demonic spirit, Paul said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her, and it came out of her the same hour. The word distress means to cause anguish to, cause suffering to upset, to make miserable, to trouble, to worry, to bother, or to be agitated. How many have ever been there? Now, how many are there? Okay, that was quick. All right. But anyway, that's what it means. Do you think that the apostles ever got worn out? It gets better. Not only he's got to deal with this witch basically following them and screaming this out, but it's wearing on them. It's making them even indignant. And he's putting up with it. Write this down. We live in a world today that wants to wear you down and wear you out. If you allow people, they'll do this to you. Not just people, but it can be anything. There's always that one person in your family. Did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. It's either all drama, and if they don't have it, they'll find it, and if they can't find it, they'll create it. And it can wear on you. So you got to kind of just put them off and say, you know, I love you, it's been nice talking to you, but I need to go. But not only that, people, but the world we live in, all the thing that's happening in the world, the media, the news. Like I said, I don't watch the news. It's bad enough I hear about it anyway. Because I don't want all that negative stuff in my spirit. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to watch the news. I'm not saying that at all. Some of you could watch it. No big deal. Me, I just go, now, it hits me too hard because there's too many things happening in the world. And I need to focus on the prayer, focus on praying, focus on the word, and not get into that negativity all the time. So anyway, there's so much happening out there. Many of you are dealing with situations maybe on your job. You're getting bombarded, you're getting hit, you get wore out. It can happen anywhere because people are people. All the negative stuff that's happening in the world, it can affect you if you let it. It wears you down. Even in ministry, things can wear you down. And they can wear you out if you're not careful. I've seen too many people in Christianity burn out and just quit. 1,500 pastors a month, statistics, are leaving the ministry. There's more now walking out than any other time. They're just walking out. They're done. Can't do it anymore. They're wore out. They're wore down. And that's what the enemy wants to do to God's people. He wants to wear you out, wear you down, get you to back off on what's important in the kingdom. And that's Jesus. 2 Peter 2:7-9. Let's look at this. And he rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out and distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and the lawless. Wow. Now, many of you understand who Lot was. He picked the plush plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, you go that way, I'll go this way. He picks and lusts after the plushest place. But what Lot forgot was Sodom and Gomorrah. And he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says here that he rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out, distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and the lawless. For that man, just man, living there among them, tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and what he heard. There's a lot of things you can see today. Turn the TV on, you'll find out. There's a lot of things that you can hear today. What are you listening to? Some things you listen to can wear you down and wear you out. Some of the things in the past, it just can't do the things that you used to do in the past. There's some things you can't because it triggers things and it wears you out and wears you down. But here we see Lot that was living among them by seeing and hearing of their wicked deeds. Now, verse 9, now, if all these things are true, then be sure. Now, I like this part here. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lorraine. Ooh. Good cup of coffee. That's hot. I like it. All right. Now look at the King James Version. For the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. From what? Day to day. Day to day with their unlawful deeds. That means he was right in the middle of the pit. He was in the middle of the pit. Now, I'm going to say this. You can stay in that pit for so long, and it's going to wear you out and wear you down. You know, Paul said this. Jesus said this. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Okay? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We go in there, yeah, we witness to people. We go to work. We're around a lot of people that are not saved. That's our job. To be ministers to these people, to love on them, to pray for them, to get them saved, to get them into the kingdom. But there's a time you just got to move away and you got to get alone with God. We don't fellowship with the Word. We don't fellowship with the world. We fellowship with each other. Our fellowship is not of the world. But Paul didn't say about leaving the world. He's talking about fellowshipping with the world. I looked up the word vexed in your notes, and it says to tire down with toil, to exhaust with labor, to afflict or oppress with evils, to make trouble for, to treat roughly. Some of you have been through things all the Sundays. Some of you have been through things where this has affected you to the place that sometimes you wonder if you're going to recover from it. You will. You will. What did Paul do? He got tired of putting up with it, so he reacted to the spirit of the girl and he cast it out. Okay? As a result of this act, you know what? He got more trouble. The enemy retaliated. The owners of this girl realized that they were going to lose making money off of this girl, so they stirred up the whole town. Whenever you do things for God, don't sit there and think that the enemy won't retaliate in some way. When you start to do things for God and minister for God, the enemy always retaliates. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Expect that. In the world, Jesus said you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when you are doing what God has called you to do, and you're being what God has called you to be, what happens is the enemy wants to retaliate against you to shut you down. So this is what happened to Paul. All of us have experienced demonic retaliation in some form or another. I remember when I was young in the Lord and I was working in Denver, Colorado. I was working in Teen Challenge. And I remember I was just bold. I would go right down in the middle of the pit and start preaching Jesus to these people. And all of a sudden, my sister would call me, my stepsister. She went to home to be with the Lord. She'd call me up. She goes, "What is going on? The Lord has woken me up in the middle of the night, and I've been praying all night for you." And then I'd tell her. She'd go, "Oh, okay." That happened more than one time, that she would pray. Because when you're young and you're strong in the Lord, but you don't know what you know now, God uses people to cover you. But when we get older and we get wiser, God expects us to cover not only ourselves, but to cover other people because we're mature enough. So when you do something according to the will of God, the enemy tries to make you pay for it. Or when you're doing all you know to do to live for God, the enemy bombards you with everything he can throw at you. How many of you ever felt that way? It's like, man, when is this thing ever going to end? He even sends and uses people sometimes to wear you out with their lifestyle and their negativity if you let it. And you have to be careful. You got to love them. You got to hug them. But you got to move on. Because that can't be your fellowship. How many know what I'm talking about? Because it'll wear you down. In these moments, just as Paul and Silas experienced that, you and I need to release our faith to experience breakthrough in our lives. Now, look at Job 42:10. How many understand Job went through a lot? It says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." Everybody say captivity. "The Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends." There's something about praying for one another that God releases something into your life. See, I'm going to say this. Still love me. Still love me. You got to anyway. But sometimes we depend on other people to do all the praying for us, and God says, no, it's time for you to pray. It's time for you to pray. It's time for you to stand on your two feet. It's time for you to pray for somebody else. Amen? There's times we need people. That's not what I'm saying. There's people we need to call and say, hey, I really need you to be in agreement with me and pray. Because it seems like, oh, hell has been unleashed this week, and I need your prayers. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's people, they want everybody to do the praying for them, and they never pray or do anything about it. Well, you can't fight warfare like that. You just can't do it. So you got to have people that pray for you, but you've got to say, no, I need to pray. I need to take authority over this thing in my home, this thing in my marriage, this thing that's out there. I need to take authority over this and come against this thing. So the Lord turned the captivity of Job. I mean, he lost his family. He lost everything. The devil comes before the Lord and he says, hey, God, notice your servant Job? You got him all protected. You have a hedge around him and everything. And I said, he says, that ain't fair. He said, I bet you that hedge comes down that he will curse you in your face. God says, that's my servant Job. He said, you can do anything except kill him. So God allowed this. Now listen, a lot of times when people read the book of Job, they just take the book of Job and say, this is my life. No, that's not. You got to remember something about the book of Job. Job did a lot of things too that wasn't God. He let the hedge down. You read it. So it says that the enemy went down there, and Job said this, the thing that I feared the most came upon me. He opened the hedge. The thing that I feared the most came upon me. So the Lord didn't take the hedge down. Job did. So the enemy got in there and just ransacked him. And during the whole book, you get all the way through it, and Job is saying all these things about God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away and all this stuff. I hate that saying. I'm sorry. That is something Job said. Because if you go in the last part of the chapter of the book of Job, God said the opposite. He said, I didn't say that. You did. There's things. But the book of Job is an awesome book to understand how God can take you through the toughest things in your life and turn them to glory. And then you begin to read that and understand it. I look at that book in a total different dimension than a lot of people do. But it's an excellent book. Now, the basic Bible in English says this, and the Lord made up to Job for all his losses. How many right now can say, Lord, make up for all the things that the enemy has stolen from me? There's some things I realize they're gone. But God can still turn things, all the things that were meant for bad, he can turn them and bring them for good. God can turn it around. And the Lord made up for Job all the losses after he made prayer for his friends. I believe that God is about to manifest his power in and through your life, never before, people. But in order to do this, write this down. You have to maintain an attitude of faith and expectancy. And you will position yourself to experience the miraculous. You have to maintain an attitude of faith and expectancy. You've got to believe that God is going to do it. Do you hear me? Don't talk negative out of your mouth one thing and then say another. But begin to expect that God, according to his word, is going to do it. That's faith. The attitude of faith. I'll change it. The attitude of the word of God. And expectancy. And you will position yourself to experience the miraculous. I believe that. I really do. This is exactly what happened to Paul and Silas. Now get this. Here they are, beaten with rods, stripped down, humiliated, thrown in the lowest dungeon. Heaven forbid you couldn't put them in the upper class dungeon. But you had to throw them in the lowest dungeon, chained to guards, chained, where there's rats, that's musty. Some of the conditions we heard about those inner dungeons in Israel was something else. They were not the Ritz-Carlton. Instead of complaining and being frustrated with God over what he allowed to touch their lives, they chose to give him glory so that they could receive glory. That's what they chose to do. Verse 25, read, look at this. But about midnight, everybody say midnight. Midnight. How many had midnight hours before? I've had some nasty midnight hours. About midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to praise God. Oh my golly, you mean they weren't complaining and griping about what they're facing, what they went through? Man, that's not fair, Silas. Man alive, we got ripped off. Why would they do this when we're doing God's work? Why would this happen to us? Why are we going through this? Why are we losing this? Why are we not have this? And on and on and on. Instead, at the midnight hour. Why the midnight hour? Why the midnight hour? Do you know the Jewish people, there was a midnight hour that they prayed. Actually did. They took that time to pray. Someone prayed certain times of the day. Midnight hour could be one. I know I'd be sleeping, but that could be one. Yeah. So the midnight hour. Why did they wait till midnight to do this? That's probably one of the traditions. They probably thought, you know, instead of worrying about this, let's just sing and praise God. And that's what they started doing. They started singing hymns and praise to God. And the other prisoners heard every word they said. You know what, Keith? We're in this dungeon, so let's be real quiet. We don't want to wake up the prisoners. Heaven forbid, if we talk about God, someone might hear me. Are you kidding? They just started going to town. And what they did when they started praising and worshiping God affected everybody else. Don't think that your prayers and your praise don't affect the demonic realm, because it does. It does. Is this our attitude? We've all had midnight experiences, people, where things seem to look dark and hopeless at times. We've had them. These are the best and the most important times to pray and to sing praises to God during those times, because you know that he is more than able to break through into your life. More than able. Look at verse 26. When they started praying, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly's come. Suddenly's are coming. You've been praying, you believe in God, you've been praising, suddenly's coming. Suddenly. You get up in the morning, first thing you go, suddenly, Lord, today's a good day. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors, not just Paul and Silas, all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Isn't that amazing? God cared about all the other persons that heard him. You know why? Because when they were singing praises to God and hearing them worship God, It gave a chance for God to be glorified by showing himself strong by removing the shackles and opening doors for them. Isn't that awesome? God's no respecter of person. Joshua 6:16. And the seventh time, everybody say seventh time. Seven means what? Completion. They walked around 7 days, never said a word till the last day. 7 days. They're marching around Jericho, looking at that big wall. You know why God didn't let them say anything? Probably because they'd have been so negative. They'd have walked around the wall and go, ooh, that wall is big. You know, we do that. Oh, my golly, you just don't understand what I'm dealing with, what I'm facing. That wall is big. And we make it big. They're walking around that 7 days, and they're looking at that wall, but they can't say anything. Why? Because God knew if they say something, it would be all negative and doubt and unbelief. He dealt with them for 40 years. He knew them. Better not to say a thing. So they walked around 7 days. Seventh day, got around the wall. The priest blew the trumpets, and they shouted. And the walls came down. That was the only thing they got to say was shout. And the seventh time when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Hebrews 11:30. Because of what? The walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encompassed for 7 days by the Israelites. God is about people to shake your foundations, tear down the walls, open supernatural doors, loose you from everything that has bound you. In Jesus' name, this is what God is going to do. This is your time for supernatural breakthrough. Write this down. God has given us everything that we need to live over and above. God has given us everything we need to live over and above the warfare that comes against our soul. You notice it didn't say spirit? Your spirit is as perfect as it's going to get. It's perfect in God's eyes. It's our soul area that we deal with, our emotions, our will. Are thinking. This is what the enemy bombards. But your spirit is perfect before God. You are perfect before him in your spirit. Otherwise, you would never be able to go into the Holy of Holies and the throne of grace and mercy to receive what you need. But God has given us everything we need to live over and above the warfare that comes against our soul. 2 Peter 1:3, look at this. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. People, God's power is already in you. He's waiting for you to allow that to be released in your life. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We have to take what he's given us in the spirit, and we got to combat the enemy. Got to come against the enemy. He has become your deliverer and your source of miraculous power in your life. You and I need to declare by faith that all bondage, barriers, blockages, and hindrances in our lives are released and that the power of the enemy is broken. This is what we got to do, people. We need to declare that we walk in supernatural breakthrough in every area of our lives. The Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke. Therefore, we decree and declare that every yoke is destroyed and every burden is removed in the name of Jesus. Refuse to be bound another day. Refuse to be bound another day in your life. Make a decision. Say, Lord, I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to be in bondage to this. I'm not going to allow this in my life anymore. Make a change. See, God is waiting for you to step out in faith so he can meet you right where you're at. He's not going to do it for you. But when you step out, he will be with you and make it happen. Refuse to be bound another day in your life. Declare the goodness, the favor, and the anointing of God that abounds towards you. Refuse to complain, people. Be frustrated or angry with the Lord or over the things that have been allowed in your life. We can sit there and complain about the past. Let it go. Move on to your future, because your past will keep you from moving to your future. We've all been ripped off. We've all been wounded. We've all been hurt. We've all been betrayed. We've all been down this road together. And the thing is that we got to let that go and say, Lord, I need supernatural breakthrough in my life. So I refuse to complain, be frustrated and angry over these things that have been allowed in my life. Instead, Lord, I choose to praise, to worship, to pray, to give thanks for the goodness of you, God, that you have given towards us. Look at Psalms 126:4. I want to close with this. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord. As the streams in the south, the Negev are restored by the torrents or the outpouring. Now, I like what the Passion Translation says. It says this, now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory. That's my prayer. Lord, restore us to our former glory. How many can say, Lord, restore me to my former glory? Restore us to our former glory. Declare that today is the day of the supernatural breakthrough in our lives in Jesus' name. Listen, people. Every one of us have been in places in our life where we've felt like it's been hopeless, it's been dark. It's affected us. It's affected us. But we don't have to let it rule and reign our lives. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be so free that you will understand what it means to have peace of mind, what it means to have the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's His joy, and we need His joy to take us through these times. The joy of the Lord in the last days is going to be very important for the strength we need. It's our strength. That means you can laugh at the devil, you can laugh at every situation and say, I refuse to be bound, I refuse to be bribed by that. I refuse to allow the enemy to use that against me. I don't know about you, but it's easy sometimes. And what I mean by captivity doesn't mean that your life is just dark. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's an area of your life that you're saying, God, I just need breakthrough. I feel captive. I feel like there's no way out. When I know there's your way out. So this morning, Keith, I need you to come. And Holly. As we close, I want you to really look inside this morning. People, look inside. Let the Holy Spirit put His finger on some things in your life. If you can't tell anybody, you can sure tell the Lord. He knows exactly what you need. Only the Holy Spirit knows what you're going through, what you're dealing with, how you feel. Only He knows. I want us just to bow our heads for a minute. I want you just to keep your eyes closed. And I want you to really be honest with God. Just be honest with Him. He knows already. But there's something about confessing this thing before the Lord as Keith and them are singing this song, I just ask that the Holy Spirit right now just begins to move upon your heart. There might be some things you've got to let go of. Maybe there's some people that you got to release and let it go. God knows. Holy Spirit, we need you right now. Father, this morning we come before you and we realize everything that Jesus has done for us. But Father, we need a revelation of your goodness and your compassion and your mercy. We hear about it, Lord, but sometimes we don't understand how good you are and how compassionate you are for us to be free in all dimensions of our life. Lord, some of us may have lost the joy of the Lord as our strength. We feel like we're just going through the motions. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you, but we feel like there's something missing. And I think, Lord, that when you've been hit, you've been wounded, you've been hurt, sometimes we miss what that healing really means. So this morning, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to overshadow every person in this place. May we recognize and begin to confess to you. Maybe there's areas that we need to confess to you in order for healing to come. Maybe we've been holding on to some things and we've never let them go. But I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you help us to let it go, to release those things that are holding us back. Father, help us to be like Paul and Silas, no matter what touched their lives, what affected their lives, and no matter what they went through, the horrible beatings and the stonings and all these different things that they suffered, they still knew how to praise you and worship you no matter what. Father, we are those kind of people. Help us to do it when it's the hardest. Help us to remember that complaining or being upset or angry about it won't change it, but if we will turn it to praise to you, the shackles and the doors will be opened. Father, thank you this morning for every person in this place. Lord, they came. You know what they have need of. You know the miracle and the breakthrough that they need. Thank you. So, Lord, we leave this place today, not just another service, but we leave this place today taking with us your presence, your glory, your anointing that shatters and breaks every yoke that we face. And Lord, that other people face, that we can be instruments for your glory. Lord, I pray for emotional inner healing, restoration and wholeness, as we're being honest with you and obedient to you, be it unto us according to your word. We love you, Father. We thank you. And we worship you with all that's within us. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.